This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem. We're continuing our Shiurim on Sefer Vayikra. Welcome back. I hope everyone had a wonderful Yom Tov. The Shiurim on Sefer Vayikra are generously sponsored by Dr. Zakheim u'mishpachta, Lila Nishmas, Rav Shem Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov Zakheim, and Leila Nishmas, Dr. Zakheim's mother, Rivka Bas Tovia Halevi. Began Eden to him and Chasim, they should be Melitza Yisharim for their whole family. Ad Bias Goel Tzedek. The Shiurim of Chodesh Nisan are generously sponsored by our friend Rav Eli Babayev and family, Lili Nishmas, Abraham, Albert, Ben Yaminov, Halevi, Ben Esther, Began Eden to him and Chasai, should be a Melitza Yisharim for his whole family, for Simcha Sanachas, Suras Toivois, Ad Bias Goel Tzedek. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by our friend Reb Robert Yadgarav for a speedy recovery for a newborn nephew, Yosef Meir Ben Shoshana. Hashem should watch over him. He's having surgery right now, and he should have a refuah shalema. Tonight's shiur is also sponsored by Reb Yaakov Mizrahi of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Parshas Tazria Mitzvira. We have a very important mitzvah in the parsha, sort of slipped in when you at least expect it. The pasuk talks about a woman who gave birth and her tumah and her tahara, and the pasuk says, "Vayoyim hashmini yimayel es besar alasa." On the eighth day, you circumcise the flesh of his foreskin. Now, this is very interesting. We're going to speak today about, of all the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, there are three mitzvahs that enjoy a unique feature. Namely, we have many mitzvahs that are great mitzvahs, have reward to them that the Torah speaks about, but there are only three mitzvahs that are categorized as an ois, as a sign. Meaning that the performance of that mitzvah indicates that there's some kind of treaty or deal between us and the Almighty. What are these three mitzvahs? This is written, recorded by Avodraham, as well as Rabbeinu Bechaye. And the three mitzvahs are Bris Milah, Shabbos, Tefillin. By Milah it says, V'haya la'ois baris b'ni uveinechem. It will be a sign of a covenant between me and you. Shabbos it says, B'ni uvein b'nei Yisrael, ois hi la'olam. By Tefillin it says, V'haya la'ois al yadcha. And therefore, these three mitzvahs are a sign and testimony that we are the servants of Hashem. So these are the three oisos, yeah, the three signs. Now we know that in order to have proper testimony, how many witnesses do you need? Usually you need two. Al pishnayim edim yakum davar. Therefore, Avodraham writes, Rabbeinu Bechaye writes, and the original source of this is the Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol of Rav Moshe of Kusi. Rav Moshe of Kusi was one of the Rishonim, along with Rabbi Yechiel of Paris, who debated Nicholas Danin in the famous disputation in France about the Talmud. By the way, he wrote the Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol. If you look in Masech Yuma, on the side of the page is Tosfos Yeshanim. Tosfos Yeshanim was written by Rav Moshe of Kusi. That we have three oisos, and at all times one has to have at least two oisos on them. One should always be carrying two oisos. Therefore, and if someone is missing one of them, one is not a full, complete Jew. Even though, you know, there's certain things, either you are or you're not in this world. You know, you can't be very. You know, he's very Jewish. He's not so Jewish. There's no such thing. Either you are or you're not. You know, you can't be very. But it seems like one's Jewishness is dependent on carrying these two signs. What are they? Bris, Tefillin, Shabbos. Therefore, says Avodraham, says Rabbeinu Bechaye, says the Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol, on Shabbos, where we have an ois, you don't have to wear Tefillin. Shabbos is an ois, so you don't have to wear Tefillin. So you have Shabbos and Milah. What about during the week? During the week, you don't have Shabbos. You better wear tefillin. This way you have tefillin and milah. Therefore, wherever you are, you always have two oisos. And therefore, it's so important that everybody wears tefillin, because you don't have tefillin, you're basically like you're forsaking your testimony. Now we understand why back in the day they wore tefillin all day long. So you could ask, well, what do they do in the nighttime? But this is the philosophical rationale offered by the Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol. It's quoted by Avudraham, it's quoted by Rabbeinu Bechaye. We have three mitzvahs that are on ois, and at all times, in all days of the year, you always want to have at least two ois. Okay? It's a very beautiful idea. It's like you want to have two testimonials that we are connected to Hashem. So this brings up the following interesting point, by the way. This comes from a Gemara. The Gemara says, Menachas Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Rabbi Akiva says, I would think you should put tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. No, it says, V'hayo la'ois. On someone who needs an ois, where's tefillin? Shabbos and Yom Tov, you don't need an ois, because Shabbos and Yom Tov is the ois. So therefore, we don't wear tefillin. By the way, Tosfos in Moed Katan brings, well, Chol HaMoed, maybe have an ois, because Yom Tov is an ois. Chol HaMoed, what's the ois? Maybe the matzah, maybe the sukkah. So then it comes out, it's not only Mila, Shabbos, and Tefillin. There might be other oisos as well. Okay. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to wear Tefillin on Shabbos. Why? Because since you have the ois of Shabbos, it's going to be disparaging to Shabbos, the ois of Shabbos, to put on Tefillin. Okay? Fine. So now we come to the million-dollar question.
What's wrong with having three witnesses?
Okay.
Who is the minimum?
True. Again, actually, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say, and we're going to get back to this, maybe you shouldn't even have two. Because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about Mila at all. And the Shulchan Aruch just says, don't wear tefillin on Shabbos because it's disparaging to Shabbos. Okay? We're going to come back. We're going to discuss all of this. We're going to start with the following question. The Smag writes that you should always have two witnesses. What about someone whose brothers died because of Bris Milah? Now, I don't know if that happens today. I don't think so. Chances are that... Yeah, I don't think it happens today. And I don't think it happened even hundreds of years ago either. Maybe the last time it happened was, you know, really a very long time ago. We're going to see it could be even in the times of the early Achronim, they did not think it happened. But let's say you have someone whose brothers died because of Bris Milah. Does he have a bris? Can't give him a bris. Is it the kid's fault he doesn't have a bris? It's not his fault. It's just, you know, the likelihood of it being safe for him to have a milah, he probably has some kind of condition that he can't have a milah. I just actually heard today about a situation. A baby had a bris today, and he's needs a refuah shleima. So, but the condition of mesu achiv machmas mila is very uncommon. But let's say you had such a case. A guy comes to shul. He tells the rabbi, you know, rabbi, I never had a bris. You never had a bris? Yeah, because my brothers died because of bris mila. So now the question is, so he doesn't have a bris, what should he do on Shabbos? He should wear tefillin on Shabbos. The only reason you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos is because on Shabbos you have bris and Shabbos. But if you don't have bris and all you have is Shabbos, maybe you should wear tefillin on Shabbos. Can you imagine? You come into shul on Shabbos, everyone's, you know, and you have a guy wearing, like sometimes I come to mincha, this guy, he's wearing tefillin at mincha time. So either his alarm didn't go off on time, or he's on a very high madrega. The only thing is, usually the guy who's wearing tefillin at mincha time does not look like he's on a very high madrega, you know. Usually he looks like he woke up a little bit late. But that's the question of the Trumas HaDeshen. Trumas HaDeshen wants to know, according to the Smag, that a person always needs two Edim, so someone whose brother died because of Mila, should he put on tefillin on Shabbos? By the way, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't get ourselves into trouble, but if a Jew needs two Edim, so what does a woman do? She doesn't have bris, and she doesn't have tefillin.
Neighbors?
Yeah, what about them?
That's
Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Yeah. So yeah, she has Shabbos. Man also has Shabbos. What are the witnesses? Okay. So we say, Ishtai Kagufai. Okay, think about that. That's the question of Trumas Hadashin. Trumas Hadashin wants to know if there's this imperative that you always have to have two Eidim. So then someone who doesn't have Bris Milah, should he wear Tefillin on Shabbos? Comes a Trumas Hadashin. No, you don't need to wear Tefillin on Shabbos. Why? You never make a distinction in Halacha based on an agadic reason. The Smag was the one who said that the reason to wear the reason why we should wear tefillin during the week and not on Shabbos is because you always have to have two witnesses. So during the week you have tefillin and milah. On Shabbos you have Shabbos and milah. But now you're going to start differentiating, but a guy who doesn't have milah, he should wear tefillin on Shabbos. You never make distinctions in halacha based on agadic reason. For example,
you just said don't wear tefillin based on
agadic. What?
We just said don't wear tefillin based on
when?
I'm saying on Shabbos.
Okay. So there's a distinction. Right now we're dealing with the drush, okay, of you always need two witnesses. So what about somebody who doesn't have a milah? Oh, so he should wear tefillin. No, we're not going to make a distinction based on that. But the one, in other words, the distinction made by Shulchan Aruch, namely that on Shabbos, you shouldn't wear tefillin because it's disparaging. That's not agadic, because if you look in the Gemara Menachos, the Gemara Darshans, it says, V'hayul ois al yadcha. Only someone who needs an ois should wear tefillin. On Shabbos, you don't need an ois. That's one. And that's Darshan from a Pasuk. The Smag is giving a drush that you always need two. So that's the agadic distinction that we're referring to. But you're right, there might be an agadic imperative regarding one, and we're going to come back to that as well, okay?
Why don't we wear the tefillin by mincha?
No, now, there's a general question. Yeah. Really, we should wear tefillin all day long, right? Do you have to keep kosher all day long? Kosher all day long. Uncle Moshe says that you have to keep kosher all day long, right? And you will never, ever, and I haven't heard that song in many, many years. Baruch Hashem, I still remember, right? But what, the answer is really you're obligated to wear tefillin all day long. You have an obligation, but we can't fulfill it because we cannot maintain our body in cleanliness. Okay, we.
That's by mincha.
Yeah. I know three people that wear it.
What?
I know three people that do
it. I know four and a half. but.
But there's no reason not to wear.
There's no reason not to wear tefillin other than we don't wear it more than we have to because we're not able to keep our body clean. Which is one of the reasons.
That's why women doesn't have to wear it.
That's the reason why, the main reason women don't wear tefillin. Why don't women don't wear tefillin? Because since they're not mechuyev to wear tefillin, they can't take the chance.
Right.
We're mechuyev to.
Right.
So we have to take the chance, but we're not going to take the chance for longer than we need to. That's.
I'm saying that's why a woman doesn't have to have that ice.
Yeah, but you would think she needs some ice. She needs some testimony. Now, so listen to this. How do we know we don't make distinctions in agadic teaching? Another raya from this week's parsha. The raya is the Gemara Nida asks, why is Bris Milah on day 8? Like, who came out day 8? It should be on day 7. The answer is the woman gives birth. She's a Nida. So she's usher to her husband for 7 days. So if they're going to make a Bris on day 7, everyone's going to be happy, and the husband and wife are going to be sad. So that's not nice. So we push off Bris Milah to day 8 so that the husband and wife could be happy also. So that's the reason the Gemara gives. So asks the Trumas Hadashin, but what if the woman is a Zava anyway? So anyway, she's not going to become Mutter for a while. So maybe we should push off the Bris till day 14 or day 20. Or what about nowadays, where it's going to take a few weeks until she's Mutter. Maybe we should make the Bris Milah after 5-6 weeks. The answer is we're not going to use an agadic teaching to dictate the timing of a mitzvah. The mitzvah is on day 8 because the Torah says it's on day 8. We're going to provide an additional rationale once we know what the facts are, but we're not going to change the facts after based on the agadic reason. Now, this is very interesting. Somebody came to the Binyan Siyan, which was Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, and they asked Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, was asked, does somebody have to risk their life not to embarrass someone? And he said, yes. And he said, why? He said, because we learn that from Tamar. Tamar was willing to risk her life not to embarrass Yehuda. So they asked the Binyan Tzion, why are you learning at halacha from Agarata? I thought the Truma Sadashin says we don't make distinctions in halacha based on Agarata. So the Binyan Tzion says, yeah, we don't make distinctions in halacha based on Agarata. We're not going to say the mitzvah applies here and doesn't apply there based on Agarata. But if you have an agadic teaching that says X or says Y, it says it's better to give up your life not to embarrass someone, we sure will learn out halacha from an agadic teaching. The bottom line is, the Chumash Hadeshin wants to know, a guy who is not going to do bris milah, should he wear a tefillin on Shabbos? The answer is no. And by the way, the Chida quotes this rationale of the Chumash Hadeshin. And he brings that somebody who's not going to do milah is still chayiv in mitzvos regarding the following case. Let's say somebody, their bris milah is being delayed. Should we then delay pidyon haben also? So he says, no. Just because you're not doing bris, you're still chayiv in mitzvos. The haraya, the Chumash Hadeshin says, someone who doesn't do bris milah, he's going to put tefillin on during the week. He's just not going to wear it on Shabbos. Okay, so this is the general idea that is advanced by the Chumash Hadeshin. Shailas Tshuvas Radvaz asks the same question as the Chumash Hadeshin. Listen carefully with one little twist. He doesn't ask, are you required, someone who doesn't do milah because their brother died because of milah, not are you required to wear tefillin on Shabbos, are you allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos? You hear the difference? The Chumash Hadeshin wanted to know, is someone who didn't do bris, are they required to wear a tefillin on Shabbos? The Radvaz wants to know, are you allowed to wear a tefillin on Shabbos? And the Radvaz says, no, you're not allowed to. Why? He says, where do you get this thing, listen carefully, where do you get this thing that someone who doesn't do bris milah is missing an ois? They are a bal ois. What does it mean they're a bal ois? They're worthy to have an ois. One of you nice gentlemen have my notes. Yeah, possible?
You need a set of?
No, just the ones with my notes on it. Is that possible? Maybe one of these? It's okay. Oh, here it is. Sorry. Should all be Michael me. It's right over here. He wants to know, is somebody who did not do bris milah, are they allowed to do a bris? So he says as follows, that someone who didn't do a bris, he wanted to do a bris, it's just he was not able to. Therefore, he's commanded in bris milah, he's considered someone who has a covenant with God. Maybe the same thing would go for a woman. She's a Jewish person. She's a member of the nation through which a covenant is made through bris milah. He says, here's the proof. Let's say somebody makes a neder, they're not going to get hana from uncircumcised people. I'm not getting any benefit from uncircumcised people. The halacha is, I'm allowed to get benefit from uncircumcised Jews. Because a Jew is by definition considered circumcised, whether they are or whether they're not. All Jews are called circumcised. Furthermore, if a guy comes to you and says, you know, I wasn't circumcised, could I wear tefillin? Don't let them. Don't let the cat out of the bag that this guy is an RL. It's not going to look good. And besides, says Radvaz, who ever heard of somebody whose brother died because of milah? I never met anyone. Okay, this is what I was referring to before. This is 500 years ago. I never met anyone. I never heard of anybody who didn't do bris milah because his brother died because of bris milah. That's like the guy who comes in, you know, the dog ate the homework. The same way no dog ever ate the homework, no one's brother ever died because...
What about the Russian Jews that didn't get bris during the... Were they considered to be...
Well, one thing's for sure. Someone who doesn't have a bris milah... You don't have a milah. I mean, you have to do milah as soon as I remember when I was a kid. the Arav, Rabbi Yitzchak Isbi, he once took all of us to an apartment on Nostrin Avenue of somebody, he must have been in his 50s or 60s, a Russian Jew, and he had a mila right then, right there. I mean, can you imagine the heroism? I mean, the bravery? I remember I was once in shul. I remember maybe like 25 years ago. I asked a guy, there was a guy there davening Shmoneh Esrei, like you could not, like he was on a very high level. I asked him his name. He had the same name of one of the all-time great Gedolei Yisrael. And he told me, you know, he's a Russian Jew and he recently had a bris mila. I mean, and you know, he was a teenager, you know. But if you, but you still have to have a bris. Just because you're Jewish, you're not, you're considered philosophically, you know, in thought, you're considered circumcised. But you have to actually go through with the mila. So the Radvaz says this idea that not only are you not required to put on tefillin, it seems like you're not allowed to wear tefillin. Comes a chida. The chida is not happy with what the Radvaz offers. He says, first of all, it's very nice the person wanted to have a mila, and philosophically, anyone who belongs to the Jewish people is considered circumcised, but at the end of the day, this gentleman is not circumcised. And the fact that if you make a neder from people who are uncircumcised, this person is permitted, that just shows that this individual is not uncircumcised. But it doesn't mean he is positively circumcised. He's not an RL. But he's not a Nimoil. Just because he's not a RL, because he's Jewish, it doesn't mean he's a Nimoil, someone who's circumcised. If anything, the Chida says we could have brought a better raya. The halacha is if somebody says, I'm not getting hana from someone with a circumcision, you can't get hana from any Jew, even if they don't have a circumcision. Because a Jew is definitionally circumcised. Bottom line is, the Chida says, I disagree. If you're not circumcised, you're not circumcised. And that which the Radvaz says, that we can't let the cat out of the bag to let this guy put on tefillin, he said, let him put on tefillin in his closet. And the Chida says something very interesting. He says, why in the world would, first of all, Kabbalistically, the Chida says, you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. It's disgraceful to Shabbos. Just one and one. It's disgraceful to Shabbos. So you're going to say, and because of a drush of the smag, make the guy wear tefillin when the Zoyar says it is prohibited to wear tefillin on Shabbos. And then says the Chida, what's this guy doing during the week? This guy who has no mila, how many oisos does he have during the week? What does he have?
Just
tefillin. He has no Shabbos, and he has no mila. So all of a sudden, Shabbos, you want him to have two signs. Well, he had one sign during the week. So if he was good enough with one sign in the week, then let him continue one sign on Shabbos. So that's the conclusion of the Chida. He should not wear tefillin on Shabbos. You should know, Reb Chaim Knievsky brings, even though we paskin, someone who doesn't have mila should not wear tefillin on Shabbos. Some achroinim paskin, they should wear tefillin on Shabbos. It's not unanimously held. That's not normative halacha. But there is such a view. It's attributed to the Beis Hillel. Even though if you read it, he doesn't say that. Okay. Let's move on a little bit. Tefillin on Shabbos. Muksa or not muksa? They're muksa. Are they muksa machmas gufai? Which means, are they muksa because they have no purpose at all? Or are they muksa, are they kli shemalach doy l'isser? Something that you do, something prohibited on Shabbos with. For example, scissors. Scissors is muksa because you usually cut paper with it. If you wanted to use scissors to cut a piece of cheese, are you allowed to on Shabbos?
Designate beforehand.
What?
You designate beforehand.
I don't think you have to designate it before. You need to cut the cheese. You could use it's kli shemalach doy l'isser. It's a kli that you normally do isser. You're allowed to do it. You're allowed to use it. L'tzarech gufay. Now, usually you don't need a scissor to cut a piece of cheese, right? You can use a knife. But our tefillin, let's say you have tefillin. You come home. The tefillin are on your dining room table. Shabbos morning. What do you do with tefillin on Shabbos? You need the place. You move them. It's klisha malach del iser. You don't wear tefillin on Shabbos, so it's something designated for something you're not allowed to use on Shabbos, but which you're allowed to move letzoyrech makaymai. But listen to the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura writes in number 12, you're not allowed to move tefillin on Shabbos. Im loy letzoyrech gufam ay makaymam, unless you need it for themselves or you need the place. Now, need the place, it's like every Shabbos, my tefillin are always in the wrong place, right? They're either on the dining room table or they're on my desk. I want to learn, right? They're always where they should not be. Someone put them where they shouldn't be. So tefillin are like the classic case of kli shemach desa. You're always moving, machas will come. But how in the world would tefillin be allowed to be moved letzorech gufay? Why would anyone need tefillin for tefillin on Shabbos? What? You want to train your kid. But he's not allowed to put it on. I don't think you would be allowed to train a kid to put on tefillin on Shabbos. It would be convenient if you could, right? That you want to what hilchos tefillin? You want to show you're learning halacha. You're learning the halacha, and you want to show what's the mavarta, what's the titura. Yeah, I might have said that, right? Mechinuch, you're trying to teach about the mitzvah of tefillin.
Why do you have to say that tefillin is wrong? So just say that the person is not allowed to wear it. It's like Chavetz Chaim, you know.
The answer is because I didn't write the Mishnah Berurah. The Chavetz Chaim wrote the Mishnah Berurah. And he said, and also the Shulchan Aruch says it's Maksa.
Why? It has to be Maksa.
Because
the person cannot wear it.
Because it's you. Anything used for something you're not allowed to do is Muksa Machmas. It's called Klisha Malach Del Isser. But what does the Mishnah Berurah mean? You're allowed to use the Letzarech Gufa. Yeah, I would have said what you guys are saying. You could use it if you need to, I guess, show a Hilchos Tefillin. Says Reb Chaim Kievsky, I'll tell you why you would use it Letzarech Gufa. Someone whose brother died Machmas Mila, he puts on Tefillin on Shabbos. So that's considered using it Letzarech Gufa. So they asked Reb Chaim Kievsky, yeah, but we don't paskin like the Trumas Hadashin. So what do you mean if somebody's brother died because of Mila, so he should wear tefillin, but we don't paskin? The Trumas Hadashin said we're not making distinctions in halacha based on Agarata. Chaim Kievsky said, but somebody was concerned, maybe the halacha is not like the Trumas Hadashin. So somebody who wants to wear tefillin would be allowed to use the tefillin, Letzarech Gufay. I would have said, yeah, but the Radvaz, when he raised the Shaila, he wasn't asking, are you obligated to? He was asking, are you allowed to? And the Radvaz says, you're not allowed to wear the tefillin. The Chida even said it was usur. So, what does the Mishnah Berurah mean that you'd be allowed to wear the tefillin, letzorech gufay, but you can't wear tefillin on Shabbos? Unless maybe what you're saying is a valid answer, that you'd be allowed to wear the tefillin, let's say, you're allowed to move the tefillin to show what the tefillin are themselves. Okay, this is really what I was getting to. The next Mishnah Berurah. You ready? Look at number 14. This is very interesting. Uv'yoyim sheyesh boy mila. If there's a mila in the shul, roy shaloy lachloy tzad achar hamila. You should keep the tefillin on until after bris mila. Not the mayel. Of course the mayel. By the way, when was the last time you saw a mayel wear a tefillin when he did the mila? He should. Not the sanduk. The sanduk usually does. Not the aviyah ben. Usually the aviyah ben does. Everybody. Ki mila hi ois. Mila is a sign. Utfillin heim ois. And tefillin is a sign. Since mila is an ois, and tefillin is an ois, don't take off your tefillin till after the mila. Who says that? Mishnah Berurah. From who? Early sources. Magen Avraham. Got that halacha?
But the ice is only for the child. What does that mean with everybody else?
So Rabbi Adler is raising a good question. What does this kid's ice got to do with my tefillin? That's one question. That wasn't the question I was looking for yet.
That's if you have your own mila and baby's mila. That's how that happens.
You're saying, I already put on tefillin, and I put on tefillin with my mila, so I already did what I needed to do. Why am I keeping it on?
We just said we don't want three, but we don't want one to infringe on the other.
Maybe I should daven in my closet, because if this guy comes next to me, he's going to have his tefillin and his meal. It's going to be four. That's why people get very possessive. Like, get out of here, get it. You're getting too close to me. What are you getting so close to me with your tefillin for? I mean, you know, maybe we should make cubicles. Yeah, let me tell you the question I'm looking for. This is the question of Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Igros Moshe. There's a question of Rav Chaim Knievsky in the Sefer Das Noite. Ready for this great question? But it's such a good question, but you already have enough information that you should be able to answer it like that. The question Rav Moshe asks in the Igros Moshe is, the Shulchan Aruch says, are you allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos?
No.
No, why? Yep. It's not nice to Shabbos. Shabbos is an ois. So you're going to come with the tefillin as if Shabbos is not a good enough ois. Get your tefillin away from Shabbos. Shabbos is a good enough ois by itself. What are you showing? We need more ois. You're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. So ask Rav Moshe, so why are you putting on your tefillin to go next to the bris milah? What's wrong with the milah? The same way you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch says it's a zilzul to Shabbos to wear tefillin. It's a zilzul to Yom Tov to wear tefillin. So why does the Mishnah Berurah say you should wear tefillin at a milah? It's a disgrace to the milah to put on. It's good to wear tefillin at the milah. It should be bad to wear tefillin at the milah. You hear? That's the question of Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's the question of Rav Chaim Knievsky. You got the question? You're not supposed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. It's not nice to Shabbos. You're disparaging Shabbos. So it's nice to wear tefillin at a milah. You're disparaging the bris milah. The worst thing you could wear at a bris milah is tefillin.
But then you would never need two else, because you would only be allowed to have just one, at any time, just one. Either bris or...
So David is answering. What kind of question is that? That's not a question. You're now to wear tefillin on Shabbos because a Jew needs two signs. So on Shabbos I have Shabbos and Milah. So that's why I don't wear tefillin.
Not because of Shabbos.
It's Shabbos and Milah. That's why I don't wear tefillin.
Not
at a regular bris Milah, I should wear tefillin to have two signs. Meaning, Rav Moshe was asking, what do you mean? It's not nice to wear tefillin on Shabbos, so it shouldn't be nice to wear tefillin by Milah. That's Rav Moshe's kasha. So David is saying, what kind of kasha is that? There's a very big distinction between wearing tefillin on Shabbos and wearing tefillin by Milah. Wearing tefillin on Shabbos, I already have two. I have Shabbos and Milah, so I don't wear tefillin. But to wear tefillin by Milah, it's not Shabbos. So I should wear tefillin to have two. So what was Rav Moshe even asking? By the way, that's what Rav Chaim Knievsky answers. You had your Wheaties today. Rav Chaim answers that there's a very big distinction between why it's not nice to wear tefillin on Shabbos and why it is dafka nice to wear tefillin by Mila. It's not nice to wear tefillin on Shabbos because you already have Shabbos and Mila. You don't want to have a third. You already have two. You don't want any more. But to wear tefillin at Mila, you don't have Shabbos, so you should wear the tefillin. So what's Rav Moshe's kasha, and why doesn't Rav Moshe give that answer? So you ready? You should have enough information to be able to understand why Rav Chaim Knievsky says it's a good answer. Why Rav Moshe didn't go for it, and I don't think it's a good enough answer.
So the Shabbos is clearly implying that the baby's host is a second dose in addition.
The Mishnah Berurah is what?
The Mishnah Berurah is clearly implying that the baby's bris is a second dose.
Right. Rav Moshe's kasha is, if it's not nice to put on tefillin on Shabbos, then why is it yes nice to wear tefillin by Mila? Why is it that Shabbos, it's insulting for Shabbos to put on the tefillin, and by bris, it's nice for the bris to put on the tefillin? So David's saying it's not a matter about insulting or nice. It's do you have two or do you not have two? The reason why Rav Moshe didn't give this answer is like the Truma Tzadashin said in the beginning. Because this whole thing about two, it's a drush. It's a drush. You should always have two. But Rav Moshe is writing a halachic tshuva. And all we know is one thing. And that's what we were starting off with. It's a drush that you always need to. But one thing we have in Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara says it's disparaging to Shabbos to put on tefillin, because since Shabbos is an ois, to dafka put on tefillin on Shabbos, it's not nice to the ois of Shabbos. So Moshe asks, so why is it nice to the ois of Bris Mila to put on tefillin? It should be disparaging to the Mila. Don't call me this business about two. That's a nice Dvar Torah, the two business. That's a nice drush. But it's not going to... We're not going to make distinctions in halacha. We're not going to say, oh, go put on your tefillin by a bris to have two. We're not going to make halacha. We're not going to make distinctions in halacha based on that drush. So you ready for... So now we have a good question.
So we do put on tefillin
The Mishnah Berurah says you should.
You should.
Yeah. And it's happily ever after, right? But we do. We do.
Right.
The question is, why should you?
Right.
Isn't it disparaging to the bris? That's Rav Moshe's kasha.
Right.
So one answer, and Rav Chaim Kievsky gives this answer, is it's only disparaging to Shabbos because you already have two oisos.
Right.
But Rav Moshe's not going with that. So listen to what Rav Moshe answers.
What if you do on Rosh Chodesh if somebody has a bris?
I'm going to get...
Should you keep on wearing it?
Should you put it back on?
Yeah.
No.
And why do you take it on?
Should the Baal Bris put it back on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a difference between that it's the bris of the child versus your own bris?
So why do you wear it?
Yeah. Very good. The Chida.
What did he say?
The Chida and Reb Chaim Knievsky, they both offer another possibility. And that is, you're not going to put on tefillin on Shabbos. You know why? You're the one who's keeping the Shabbos. You're keeping the Shabbos. For you to put on tefillin, I already have an ois. I'm keeping the Shabbos.
You have two oises. You have the bris and Shabbos.
I'm keeping the... Before the bris for a second. I'm keeping the Shabbos. So the ois is in me. To put on tefillin, to have another ois in me, it's disparaging. But the kid has a bris.
Right.
The bris is in him. So for me to put on tefillin, that's not a problem at all. To me, it's... You know, what does his bris got to do with my tefillin? I think you said that also. Rabbi Adler and Rabbi Weber both said that. Now, listen to Rav Moshe's answer. You ready? This is a very interesting chiddush. Rav Moshe said, what's the ois of bris? Is it circumcising? Is the act of circumcision the ois? No. It's what?
Having
a milah. Being circumcised. Being circumcised. So you want to say, it's disparaging. Okay, you're not allowed to put on tefillin on Shabbos, because that's disparaging to the ois of Shabbos. You can say, I shouldn't be allowed to wear tefillin by the bris, because it's disparaging to what? The circumcision? Circumcision is not an ois anyway. Cutting is not an ois. The ois is being circumcised, says Rav Moshe. You know why you should wear tefillin at a bris? Because we're trying to explain to people, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? We're doing this because it's very important that everyone should always have a sign on them. Like, look everyone, look what we're wearing. We're wearing tefillin. Rav Moshe says the wearing of tefillin, it's not that the Mishnah Berurah says put on tefillin for the bris to have two signs. It's nothing to do with two. You put on tefillin for the bris as an explanation of why we're doing this to the child. Because we want the child to have an ois. That's right. I mean, who would have thought of that? I don't think anybody is aware. I think most people think it has something to do with, like, let's put all the signs together. Rav Moshe says, it's because the ois is not being circumcised. The ois is like Rabbi Pollack said, being circumcised, not the act of circumcision. So the wearing of tefillin is injecting meaning into why we're circumcising. What? Good point. And this is sort of what the Chida says. Anyway, this is a custom. It's just a custom. In other words, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to wear tefillin. as obligatory. This is just a custom to put on tefillin. Now, I'll tell you the truth. In my yeshiva, they did not, even though they always follow the Mishnah Berurah, they did not keep the tefillin on for a bris. Why? The same reason we don't wear it. What would you call a guy? He's walking down the street. He's wearing tefillin. What would you call him? Arrogant.
Arrogant.
What do you mean? I have to wear tefillin all day long. Pal, well, you think you could keep yourself clean the whole day? You're walking down the street. You're pushing a cart with apples in it. You think you could remain clean? So, yeah, but we wear tefillin in the morning. Okay. If, you know, halavai, we could keep our minds clear for the 40 minutes with Amin Shachris. But to do it beyond that, you know, your border, it's yuhara, it's gaiva. So in the yeshiva, they were very makbid on what we call chitzonios, excessive, you know, acts of stringency. But the Mishnah Berurah does say you should keep tefillin on for a bris milah. If I may add, the Chidah writes that one should always think to themselves that back in the day, people wore tefillin all day long. And therefore, at the very least, after you finish davening, you should learn at least like one thing wearing your tefillin. Learn a pasuk, learn a halacha, learn something in your tefillin. Like, to remember the way things should be ideally, you know, where they used to spend the whole day wearing tefillin. I know the Aruch Laner, Rabbi Yaakov Ellinger, would wake up very early in the morning, and he would daven shachris, and he would learn until like chatzos hayoim wearing tefillin before he would even eat. Okay, one more. So far like this. Again, the question is, but by the way, I will tell you that, you know, sometimes, obviously not in this city or this whole country, but maybe in other countries, sometimes people take out their phone while they're wearing tefillin. I don't think you can, because when you're wearing tefillin, you're now to divert your mind from the tefillin. You're now to be meisiach das from tefillin. So davening is not considered hesach hadas, but to check a text message or an email on a phone, I don't think you're allowed to do that while you're wearing tefillin. If you hear from big poskim that you're allowed to, then all, you know, great, good for you. But I can't understand how it should be permitted. I don't think you're allowed to do something that's either not focused on your tefillin or focused on your tefillah. That's another reason why we take it off right after davening, because people can't, you know, if you're going to have a conversation with your friend after davening, I don't think you should keep your tefillin on. You're being meisiach das from your tefillin. Many people don't speak. When I became bar mitzvah, the Rebbe told us, you know, accept upon yourself not to talk in your tefillin, which is a very commendable practice. Be it as it may, let me tell you one more distinction. Again, the question is, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to wear a tefillin. It's disparaging to Shabbos. So why should you dafka wear a tefillin at a bris? So one answer is Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, that's what David said. You need to have two. So on Shabbos, you can't have tefillin on Shabbos because we already have Shabbos and Mila. But at a bris Mila, you should put on tefillin to have tefillin and bris. Or like Reb Moshe Feinstein says, the reason we wear a tefillin at a bris is because the act of circumcision is not the ois, it's being circumcised. So we wear the tefillin to explain why we're circumcising. Or, like was suggested as well, like David suggested, that the baby's bris, so your tefillin is not disparaging to the baby's bris. Here's...
What about the scenario? A bris on Shabbos, right? Same problem. You don't go ahead and even call it Shabbos.
Bris...
You have to have a bris on Shabbos. It's day to day.
If it's bris on Shabbos, then what?
And you're not, you don't call Shabbos. You don't move the siman of Shabbos.
What are you supposed to do?
No, he's asking why. How could you have a bris on Shabbos? You have Shabbos as the ice.
I mean, doing bris on Shabbos, yes. It's disparaging to Shabbos?
I think that's what he's asking.
Or vice versa.
I mean, that also, again, you know, that gets involved in a lot of the things we said, but. It's the act of circumcising is not the ois, like you said. It's being circumcised.
Well, showing why we don't take tefillin off for that same reason. You don't move one out of the way.
Yeah. Here's another svar that Reb Chaim Kanievsky said. He says like this. You have a bris milah. Everyone, we're saying, leave my tefillin on. So why should I leave my tefillin on? I just wore tefillin for the last 45 minutes. And the reason I did is to have tefillin and my bris. So why do I now need to leave on the tefillin for this kid's bris? So Rucham Kievsky says, it's because just because I did tefillin and my bris, but that was my mitzvah of being circumcised. But what about the second mitzvah of circumcising a kid? That's another mitzvah. So now, the one doing the circumcision, meaning the moyel, he davka should wear the tefillin, so that not only was there tefillin and everyone else is being circumcised, but there's tefillin and the act of circumcision. So why does everyone wear a tefillin? Everyone sort of is, you know, in it together with the mayel, but the ikar wearing of the tefillin is the mayel. No, usually the mayel doesn't. But I'm not sure you would want the mayel with, you know, with the thing wrapped around his, you know. You would want the mayel doing someone else's, right? Okay, next, this is really out of... one last thing. Mayel, usually...
What's the point of wearing a talus?
No, they tie it up so they don't.
But why that's if the male davens at the minyan. Usually he's not. Okay. Listen to this. This was raised to the Be'er Moshe, Deborah Tzina Rav. He first mentions that he remembers before the war in Hungary, everybody knew that at a bris milah, every man, every last man, wore his tefillin until the end of the bris milah. That's what people did. That's the whole reason why you say Aleinu after a bris. Why do you think you say Aleinu after a bris? Because you don't say it after davening. Because davening's not over yet. You make the bris, and then you say Aleinu. And he says, I don't understand what happened today. Why is everybody running? He says, because we live in a generation, everyone's rushed, and everyone's running, because if you have your tefillin on, how are you supposed to get out of the shul the second the milah is over? The only way to make a mad rush out the door is if you're already prepared by have your tefillin off, already by Baruch Sha'amar, this way when the davening is over, you could make a mad dash. But he said, you know, he remembers the following amazing question. What about soldiers in the Hungarian army who had to work on Shabbos? Should they wear a tefillin? Right? We had a guy who doesn't have milah, should he wear a tefillin on Shabbos? What about a guy who doesn't have Shabbos, should he have tefillin on Shabbos? That's another question.
Is the oath of Shabbos the Isser Melacha, or
is the oath of Shabbos the Isser Melacha, or the positive command? Okay. Now, what would you answer to this question? A guy who's doing malacha on Shabbos, should he wear a tefillin?
No.
Already the Trumas Hadeshin said, you're not going to make distinctions in halacha based on the drush of needing to have two oisais.
Right.
I remember reading a story, I tried to find it earlier, I think Rabbi Wein said that, you know, in his father's shul in Chicago, like in the 30s, so people, they davened by hashkama, and then they went to the store. So there were people who wore tefillin. And the rabbi said, well, you know, why are you wearing tefillin? He said, you have Shabbos. We don't have Shabbos, so at least we should have tefillin. Or another version is, you know, conservative or reform, they wanted to know if they should wear tefillin on Sukkos, since the board made a law that they shouldn't take the Dalet Minim. I think that's what it was. The board voted not to take the Dalet Minim. So once the board voted not to take it, so they don't have Dalet Minim, so maybe they should wear tefillin. These were the questions. The bottom line is, we're not going to start making adjustments based on it. One thing that we should keep in mind is that it's probably a worthwhile practice to follow the original custom brought by the Mishnah Berurah, that one should keep their tefillin on for bris milah, unless you're in a community where nobody else is doing it, and it would be yuhara, it would be arrogant. But it seems like there is a major distinction between the idea that we dafka do not wear tefillin on Shabbos, and we dafka do wear tefillin at the time of the bris milah. And it is a very beautiful idea, even though it is a drush, but it is found in the Rishonim, that we should always be cognizant that we have two testimonials with us at all times. We always have the bris milah. During the week we have the mitzvah of tefillin, and on Shabbos we have the mitzvah of Shabbos. And this gives testimony that we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and... we should be zeicha to carry those testimonies in the proper way. Thank you, everybody, for coming. I wish you a wonderful rest of the week. Bracha v'hatzlacha. Kol tov. Chanani ben Akasha Amir. Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zaka Yisrael. Lefikach Yer Balam Torah Mitzvahis. Shenemar. Adonai Chafetz Man Tzikai Yadil Torah V'yadir.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.